It's time for the Coach's Corner Show with your host, Coach Wayne Carroll. Now, here's Joel Orien and Coach Wayne Carroll.
Welcome in, everybody. It's Rams Radio, and it's our end of season Rams Overtime segment and feature, where we sit down with longtime Bath Haverling head coach Wayne Carroll, talk about the final game of the season, and reflect on the 2015 season. Let's bring him in. He's finishing up his 29th season as a varsity head coach, 24th at Bath Haverling. It's head coach Wayne Carroll. Coach, thanks so much for pulling up a stool in Rams Overtime.
It's great to be here.
Let's start delving into the New York State Class C West semifinal at Cicero North Syracuse. Your ball club fell to Shenango Forks 44-22. I'm not sure if you've watched the film yet, Coach, or if you've seen it on Time Warner Cable Sports, the game. Your overall thoughts on that game against Shenango Forks at Cicero North Syracuse at Bragman Stadium?
Well, I have not looked at the tape because I don't need to. But, you know, it's just they've been kind of a roadblock for the Bath Rams since 2001. And, you know, I thought maybe, just maybe, we get by them this year. But I believe that they're stronger than ever.
Let's begin on the defensive side of the ball. I know you love your defense. The Blackshirts had a stellar defense this year, and we'll get into their numbers as we progress here. You gave up 44. That's the most points you gave up all year. You held them to 23 points in the first half. You guys tried a couple different formations and schemes on defense. You flip-flopped from a 6-2 to a 5-3, which both of those formations left you with only three people in the secondary, which made you a little susceptible to passes, two corners, one safety in those defensive formations. Your thoughts on how the Blackshirt defense played against Shenango Forks?
You know, not having Patrick in the secondary, that was kind of a different for us. We felt that, you know, without him, we might as well put a linebacker in because some of the other guys just didn't have the experience to play against this kind of opponent. You know, Chris Ward and, you know, I thought Tyler Finch and, you know, those guys played really well. You know, I really believe that we had a good game plan going in. It just didn't look so good, halfway through the game there, you know, and Jake Taggart was also a good linebacker for us. You know, we had three quality linebackers, and, you know, we just didn't stop the run. You know, it was the only team that really could do anything they wanted at any time. And, you know, when you play good football teams, they make you look bad. You know, I thought we had the two best defensive ends in the league, and they were able to run outside of those guys anytime they wanted. So that was a little disappointing as a defensive coach.
Let's move over to the offense, the highest scoring offense in all of Section 5. It goes without saying you had your lowest point output against Shenango Forks, only 22 points, 6 at halftime. You guys were really stymied to start the game, Coach. The double wing, the first two possessions, didn't gain a lot of yardage. You guys made a great adjustment, you and offensive coordinator Ken DeDominick. You put Rice in the shotgun. You spread out Forks a little bit defensively. Then you were able to move the football against them. Give me your thoughts on how the offense played against Shenango Forks.
You know, we, again, you know, Patrick wasn't 100%, and you know, he didn't have really the pop. And, you know, when he was on and he was in our backfield, it gave us three weapons in the backfield. And, you know, so we kind of went down to like 2.5. And they were very good. They controlled their offensive line. And, you know, it was a little bit, you know, we hadn't seen that quite of a, you know, that kind of a line. You know, usually we were the biggest team. You know, everybody we played, we were a little bigger than, a little stronger than. It was just the opposite this time. They were a little bigger, and they were definitely a lot stronger than us.
This might be a difficult or impossible question to answer, but if Patrick Brewer's at full strength, do you believe that makes a huge difference in this game and maybe a different outcome?
You know, it wasn't just our offense. You know, the touchdown that went before half, that really kind of sealed our fate for the first half. You know, the safety, you know, that was uncharacteristic of our special teams. You know, they got a pick in the end zone. That hurt us. So, I mean, we kind of shot ourselves in the foot, too. And, you know, when you play good people, you got to be on, you know. And I told the guys they could not turn the ball over, and they scored on six or seven of their drives. So it was a rough day at the office, to say the least. But you know, it just comes right back to the offense and defensive line. And if our defensive line was able to, you know, contain them, we'd have gave them a lot better game. But we just were not able to handle them on the line. You know, they were a little bigger, and they pushed us around. They pushed our defensive line back and got outside our ends, and they blocked our linebackers, and they were off the races. And, you know, our secondary, unfortunately, picked the worst day to not really have their best tackling day.
I don't have game stats for Shenango Forks running back L.J. Watson. I know he won the Most Valuable Player Award after the game. Coming into the game, he had over 1,000 yards rushing. I think he had 17 rushing touchdowns, one passing touchdown. Do you believe 33 L.J. Watson was the best athlete player your defense has faced this year from Shenango Forks?
I really do believe that, only because, and even number 24 for Shenango, I mean, we hadn't seen that type of speed, you know, together. I mean, you know, the kid from ER was fast, you know, but they had a dual speed threat, you know, and they did anything they wanted to our outside and perimeter game. And, you know, they having those 6'5 and 6'6 tight ends, they were able to lock out on our defensive ends, and our DN just could not get off their long arms. And they, you know, and they had us just long enough where they could get by. And that's the thing with a fast back. If they get in you a little bit, you know, you have to get off them immediately and make the play. And we took too long to get off them. And, you know, downfield, our secondary was blocked. And, you know, then you got a guy running crazy in the secondary, and he's got a lot of speed, and you have to get him on the ground like right now. And it just didn't happen at all.
So several big plays in the game, but I think one of the biggest to start the second half. So Shenango Forks won the coin toss, and as you always do, they defer. Now, a couple reasons that maybe teams defer the kickoff. One, maybe to get their defense out on the field first, make a statement, make a stand. But a lot of times, you can try to get a two-for-one. Score right at the end of the first half, and then get the ball back to start the second half. For all intents and purposes, that's what they did. They scored. You guys got the ball with a minute or so left in the first half, but really couldn't do much. You had to go the length of the field in less than a minute. Then you had to kick off to start the second half. Down 23-6, Coach, you decided to go onside at that very moment. Now, some people like the call and think, a great move. You were so close to getting it. You guys did recover the onside kick. It only went 9 yards, although I went to my parents' house afterwards. They had taped the game for me on their DVR. It's close. A Shenango Forks player almost touched that ball before a Ram player jumped on it. Matt Herrick was in the booth with us. He believed that Shenango Forks had touched the ball, which makes it live before it has to go 10 yards. Ultimately, Coach, Shenango Forks got the ball. They went down, scored, made it 30-6, pretty much finishing the game at that point. It was going to be tough to come back 30-6. A lot of people say, well, why would you go onside there? You're having a hard time stopping them going the length of the field. You're going to give them great field position. But boy, you get that onside kick, you go down and you score, you make it 23-12 or 23-14, the game has a different feel and complexion, Coach. That was a big call right there, a big moment in the game, I thought, that onside kick to start the second half.
Right, you know, and, you know, actually, you know, Coach Ford and Coach Nick Carroll, we talked about it at halftime, and they convinced me. They said, you know, we got to get something going. We are flat. We're not playing well. And, you know, and I agreed. I said, hey, we are flat. You know, if we can get this onside, you know, we're in business. But I said, if we don't, you know, they're only going to drive 50 yards, and I've had trouble stopping them all day. So, unfortunately for us, you know, we didn't get that call. And all of a sudden, they came down and scored, and they were off to the races.
Shenango Forks went on to beat Greenwich 42-7. They've won their third straight state championship now. They've been in the state semis for the last 4 years straight, so they're used to playing football all the way up to Thanksgiving and beyond. Coach, it's been a long season for you guys. When you take into account training camp and scrimmages, you're going on 13, 14, 15 weeks. This is much deeper than your team has played since 08. Do you believe you just had a tired, worn-down team that maybe was just kind of running on low tread, or do you believe that maybe Shenango Forks, at least on that given day at Cicero, or this year, was just the better team and you have to tip your cap to?
Well, you know, we knew, you know, going in what we were up against, and unfortunately, I know, you know, a lot of people don't realize, but Shenango has a year-round weightlifting program, and the kids come in at 6:30 in the morning, and when I talk to the coach before the game, he goes, hey, I don't have to beg one kid in this town to lift weights. You know, everybody buys into the program. They lift real hard. They come in at 6:30 to 7:30, and the reason why they do it is because they have so many kids come out for football that they want a starting job, number one, and they don't want to be the team that doesn't have a winning record, and they have had a winning record, and you know, and they wanted to keep the state titles in a row. So, I mean, they got it going on, and you know, right now, their football program is one of the probably the top football program, not only in Class C, but one of the top programs in all the classifications. And unfortunately, they were a C for us, but I did hear they're going to a B next year, which would be good for all the C teams.
I know it was a great send-off for you on Saturday morning, Coach. People lined the streets as you guys left town on the charter bus. I'm not sure if Shenango Forks stayed up in Syracuse on Friday night. I don't believe they did. I don't believe they stayed the night before. Two and a half hour bus ride early Saturday morning. Do you believe there was any bus lag to start the game, or that really didn't play a factor in your mind?
No, it really wasn't. I don't think it was, you know, our kids never quit. You know, we just went against a team that was very strong and very fast. And, you know, they beat us in the offseason. That's where, you know, as we talked as a staff, you know, everybody agreed. It's like, hey, did you see the size of those guys? You know, those guys have put a lot of time in the weight room, and, you know, we're going to try to take a page out of their book and try to get bigger and faster this off season, and, you know, try to get back to where we were. But, you know, I really believe that we lost that game in the off season.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with Rams overtime. I'll ask head coach Wayne Carroll, if his ball club faced Shenango Forks 10 times, how many times would the Rams come out the victor? It's Rams Radio, WVIMBat.com.